Thank you so much, Dr. Knapp, for those kind words, and also thanks to all of you for having me here today. And it is a great pleasure to meet you all, because to be here today is to be at one of the most recognized institutions when it comes to educating leaders, especially within diplomacy, foreign service. And as you mentioned, in NATO, we have several people who have their education, who are graduates from the Elliott School. I work very closely with Rose Guttmuller, the Deputy Secretary General. She is a graduate from the Elliott School. And we also, later on, Ambassador Kurt Walker will share the debate together with me, and he's also a graduate from this school. So the students at this university and at the Elliott School, they are the leaders of tomorrow, and therefore it is a great honor for me to see you and to meet you all. Then I also have to say that it's not only because this is a very recognized institution that I appreciate to be here, but I'm also delighted to be here because actually originally my plan was to not become a politician, but to become an academic. And my plan was to do research within economics, and I have, I started actually to teach at the University of Oslo in economics, and I did that for 2 years. Then I was asked to become the deputy minister or the state secretary of the Ministry of Environment in Norway, and I promised myself and my wife that I would only stay there for 1 or 2 years and then we'll go back to the academic life. And that's a promise I haven't been able to keep, so I stayed in politics since 1990, and I feel that my chances for doing an academic career has diminished. Therefore, I like to visit institutions like this because that's the closest I come to any kind of academic life. So if you fail as an academic, you can become a prime minister or a secretary general of NATO. I will be very brief because the idea is that we will have an interaction. So I will just really share with you some very brief remarks or reflections, and then I will be available for questions, and we have some discussion. What I will say is that NATO is the most successful alliance in history for two reasons. Reason number one is that we have been loyal to our core value, our core task, ever since we were founded back in 1949. And that is that we are an alliance where we have promised to protect each other. One for all for one. If one ally is attacked, it will trigger the response from the whole alliance. And this strength of the unity of the alliance has been the main reason why the alliance has been so successful. And the strength of NATO is not aimed at provoking a conflict, but the strength of NATO is there to prevent the conflict. And by delivering credible deterrence, we have been able for close to seven decades, 70 years, to prevent armed conflicts, armed aggression against any NATO allied country. And that is a great success, especially in Europe, because the normal thing in Europe was that we were fighting each other. And since the end of the Second World War and since the foundation of NATO, there had been no really serious conflict, at least involving NATO allies in Europe. No NATO ally have been attacked. So the unity, one for all for one, is the main reason why NATO has been such a successful alliance. The other reason is that NATO has been able to adapt, to change. So when the world is changing, NATO is changing. For for 40 years, NATO was focused on one and actually only one task, and that was to deter the Soviet Union from attacking West Europe, NATO allied countries. And we were quite successful. The Cold War ended without firing a single shot, and it ended in a peaceful way. The Berlin Wall came down, and people started to ask whether NATO was needed anymore. And the saying was that NATO either had to go out of business or out of area. And actually, we went out of area after the fall of the Berlin Wall, the end of the Cold War. We helped ending two ethnic wars in the Balkans, Bosnia-Herzegovina and Serbia-Kosovo. And we also helped fighting terrorism in Afghanistan, fighting piracy of the Horn of Africa. And we did what we in the NATO language call crisis management beyond our borders. We did that for approximately, also from the beginning of the 1990s until today. But now NATO has to change again, because we have to continue to project stability, to manage crisis beyond our borders, in Afghanistan, in North Africa, the wider Middle East region. But at the same time, we have to come back to Europe and focus once again on collective defense deterrence in Europe. And that's especially the case after the illegal annexation of Crimea and the use of force against or Russia's more assertive behavior, especially against Ukraine. So therefore, NATO is now implementing the biggest reinforcement to our collective defense since the end of the Cold War. We are tripling the size of the NATO response force. We are increasing the military presence in the eastern part of the alliance. And we are deploying forces, battle groups to the Baltic countries, to the Poland, but also in the southeast of the alliance. So we are adapting once again to respond to a more challenging and difficult security environment. And again, the message is that we are investing in our defense not to provoke conflict, but to prevent conflict. And therefore, what we do is defensive, it is proportionate, and it is measured in a way that we don't want to provoke a new Cold War, we don't want a new arms race, and we continue to seek dialogue with Russia based on the idea that there is no contradiction between strength and dialogue, or defense, deterrence, and dialogue. Actually, we strongly believe that as long as NATO is united, as long as NATO is firm and predictable, then we can and should engage in political dialogue with Russia, because Russia is our neighbor, Russia is there to stay, and we have to manage the relationship with Russia in the best possible way, because it is in both our and Russia's interest to try to diffuse the tensions, to reduce tensions, and to find better ways to live together. This was the main issue I discussed with President Trump yesterday in the White House and his security team. This will be the main issue we are going to discuss when NATO leaders meet in May in Brussels. And this is the main issue I hope to discuss with you in the coming hours. So thank you so much, and then I'm ready to take your questions. Thank you.